It's been over a week since two former St. Paul students sued their alma mater for negligence. Bill Mithofer and Chester Irons say they were both sexually abused by St. Paul's faculty members in the 1960s and 1970s. And in the days since their complaint went public, their attorney says other St. Paul's alumni have come forward. NHPR's Lauren Chulgen talked with Irons and Mithofer about why they decided to take legal action decades after the alleged abuse.
Chester Irons' relationship with St. Paul's didn't always feel so complicated. He's in his 60s now, yet he can still remember the exhilarating feeling of being dropped off at the Concord boarding school for the first time.
I stepped out of the car with my parents and said goodbye to them and just ran off to a bunch of friends that I'd met literally 20 minutes earlier. So it was a new beginning, a new adventure, and I was very excited.
Iron says he flourished at St. Paul's. He loved it. And decades later, he became president of the Alumni Association and a member of the Board of Trustees. And looking back now, Iron says he was able to donate his time and money to his beloved institution because for decades, he disassociated himself from a darker experience that he's only recently come to terms with.
You know, I mean, the bottom line is I was raped by a sadistic sexual predator. And I mean, that is what one would label it today.
Iron says it wasn't until a therapy session in 2014 that the memory of this incident, as he says, hit him like a freight train. And since then, he's learned that he is one of many former students who have accused faculty member Coolidge Mead Chapin of sexual abuse.
He was there for four decades. He abused fathers and sons. He abused brothers. It was a multi-generational nightmare that continued for decades.
In Iron's case, he says Chapin took him and other male students to a brothel in New York and ordered them to strip down and have sex with prostitutes. And Irons alleges St. Paul's was well aware of Chapin's behavior. But he and Biff Mithofer, another St. Paul's alumnus, are taking a step that it seems no other former students have taken in recent memory. They're suing the school for negligence, for not protecting them from being sexually abused by St. Paul's faculty. Their lawsuit was officially filed last week, but they both admit it took them decades to be open about what they say had happened to them. For Mithofer, he says it wasn't until a few years ago when he started hearing about other alumni experiences and the legal battle over the sexual assault of a female student just a few years ago that he started to think back about his own experience. And then he says he remembered uncomfortable comments from two faculty members about sex and masturbation and the inappropriate ways, he says, two other faculty members touched him.
Looking back on it from here, it just astonishes me, and I can so much more easily relate to all the people who are feel powerless in these situations and don't know how to process it. I mean, I can't believe I didn't say anything, you know, because now looking back, it's of course you would say something.
Mithofer says eventually he did say something. He says he was so disturbed by these incidents that he decided to do an independent study off campus for two terms. And when he came back before graduation, he says he told the head of the school about one of the times a faculty member had touched him.
He was very clear that he knew what had happened to me. He knew why I had left campus. When I asked him about the diploma, he was very clear that whether I received the diploma or not depended on how I behaved, and that everything would be fine as long as there weren't a lot of problems.
For its part, St. Paul's current administration says Irons and Mithofer's stories are terrible. Board President Archibald Cox Jr. sent a letter to the St. Paul's community after the lawsuit was filed. And in it, he says, quote, "We are truly sorry for the pain they experienced and for any failure of the school to protect them." He also adds that, quote, "the allegations of faculty wrongdoing are deeply troubling. The idea that the administration knew of and covered up the wrongdoing is disgraceful." In the days since the lawsuit and this letter, other alumni have been inspired to talk about their experiences. One of Mithofer and Iron's attorneys, Jonathan Barnes, says so far their law firm has been contacted by four other St. Paul's alumni. That doesn't necessarily mean there will be four more lawsuits, but experts say public accusations often come in waves. David Finkelhor is director of the Crimes Against Children Research Center at UNH, and he says the fact that two alumni, not just one, are suing the school likely encouraged other victims to come forward.
When one person makes an allegation, it's easier to dismiss it, but once you get two, three, four, five people making an allegation, it has more substance. So I think the strength in numbers issue empowers people to come forward.
Plus, Finkelhorst says, think about how the conversation about sexual abuse has changed over the past few decades. The Me Too movement obviously comes to mind, but there was also that report last year by a Boston law firm that showed dozens of allegations of sexual misconduct at St. Paul's between 1948 and 2009. And long before that, Finkelhorst says the Catholic Church abuse scandal became a watershed moment for private school students who suffered abuse, especially males.
You began to see many more male victims and individuals in powerful institution and more discussion about the cover-up of these situations by institutions.
And so all this has led up to this moment and this lawsuit. Iron says it was an agonizing decision to sue St. Paul's, and Midhofer says it has not been fun to have his name in stories like this one. But Midhofer's watched gymnasts stand up to their abusive trainer, and he's watched a close friend deal with sexual abuse. And he says it just pushed him over the edge.
If a 67-year-old, middle-class, Northeasterner can't have the courage to step forward and stand next to these women and these young people and the other abusers, whether they're at St. Paul's or wherever they are, who's going to stand next to them?
In the meantime, New Hampshire's attorney general is in the middle of a criminal investigation into St. Paul's. Officials have said they're focused on whether the school is responsible for endangering the welfare of their students. For NHPR's State of Democracy Project, I'm Lauren Juljan.